This is the Man in Line on Location.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line today, live from Peel QE2 High School. We're with Year 12s. First of all, the information from the coronavirus desk. There were 7 new cases of coronavirus detected yesterday. We now have 50 in the community. 96 people waiting for results of a test. 365 people booked in for tests today. From the vaccination dashboard, there have been 63,620 first jabs, 47,695 second jabs. Over the next 7 days, 4,776 people are booked in for a jab, and currently the Department of Health and Social Care are stocking 12,745 jabs of vaccine in stock. That's where we are at the moment. I want to go to Matthew first of all. Matthew Cool, just tell me, sum up Mark Cavendish at the moment.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal what he's done. For anybody to win a stage of the tour, you know, it makes a career. It makes a career in cycling, makes a career in sport. It's the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle of that sport and achievement. And to do it after what he's been through is astounding.
Did you expect him to win anything?
I never expected him to do anything, but I never wrote him off. I think the day you write Cav off is the day you regret it.
He's 36. He's had Epstein-Barr virus. He's been clinically depressed, and he's won stages of the tour.
It's incredible. It's honestly incredible for anybody. And I think there's kind of a communal respect within the peloton now for him. And I think everyone recognises what he's been through. And it's not just a triumph within sport. It's a triumph of a human being. You know, it's a triumph of somebody who's overcome such a massive challenge in their life.
You're and a cyclist, aren't
personally,
you?
I am, yeah.
You ride for the island?
I do, yes.
Okay, when did you start? What age?
About 8, probably. I started going away under 10 races in the National Series. And, yeah, just passion grew from there, really.
And how much encouragement did you get? Who encouraged you?
Well, I think obviously encouragement personally came from friends, family, mentors, like a cyclist, Sam Brand. He's a professional cyclist from Novo Nordisk, riding for diabetes. But I've got jerseys from Cav on my wall, a signed bookmark with a personal message on it from Delhi 2010 Commonwealth Games. I mean, it's such an idol for me, and to see him doing so well, it's incredible.
Not only that, even with all the PR machine around him, he's so Manx, isn't he?
He is. I mean, you'll hear it in his post-race interviews. You can take the man out of the Isle of Man, but you can't take the Isle of Man out of the man.
Good. I'll put you on the spot. What's he going to do? He won't win today because it's a mountain stage.
No, he won't win today, but I think he'll win his 35th stage of the tour, break Merckx's record on the Champs-Élysées in green.
Well, fingers crossed. Let's see. Jake's next to you as well. Jake, we're looking forward to the election later on this year. Obviously, you've got connections to your granddad's, Chris Robertshaw. Is that right?
Yeah.
Does he ever bring politics into the home?
Yeah, he does. He asked me some of my opinions about anything in the Isle of Man, what's happening around. Yeah, and I'm just really excited because it's the first year I can vote. So I'm quite excited to vote for who I think who's going to change the Isle of Man.
Which constituency will you be voting in?
I'm not going to give that away.
Are you in Glenfaber and Peel? Or
I'm in Crosby.
You're in Crosby as well. Okay. Oh, yeah. Who's going to win tonight? Denmark or England?
England, 100%. It's coming home. It is. It is coming home.
Who have you been most impressed with? Which player?
Well, I think he hasn't played very much, but Jack Grealish is outstanding, in my opinion. I think the way he just draws fouls and does, and he just explodes like past people is just absolutely incredible. And I think Luke Shaw recently has been very good. He's so dangerous on the counter, and he just brings the ball up all the time. And
are you confident about the goalkeeper?
Pickford, I think he's been doing quite well recently. And obviously in the Premier League, he's not very good. But for national level, I think he's been doing very good, in my opinion. But I think there's no one better than him for England. So
did you watch the match last night, Italy-Spain?
Yeah.
What was your opinion of that?
I thought Spain should have won. In my opinion, I thought they played much better football, but Italy are just so clinical and they're just so good. And I thought Morata was very good, except from the penalty he missed. I thought he kind of changed the game when he came in. It was an early substitution for him and he came in quite early, but I thought he definitely changed the game for them.
And Aaron, you're from an agricultural farming family, aren't you?
I am indeed, yes.
Is it your grandparents?
Yes, my grandparents have a farm. We've got 40 beef animals at the moment, running 50-ish acres. We've had the family farm since mid-90s. It's been a good place to grow up and learn many different things.
When did you learn to drive a tractor?
I'd be about nine or ten, learning to drive. That was quite fun, yeah.
So what's your favourite pastime? Baling?
Yeah, be carting silage. I do enjoy that. Carting silage or rolling. Rolling can be quite therapeutic. That's only done during the springtime, really, when the ground's a bit softer. But when I do get the opportunity to do that, I pounce on it.
Are you going to university?
I have looked into it. I've looked into university. It'd either be doing an agricultural-themed course or more of like a motorsport course, which I do have a large interest in motorsport as well.
Well, next year, TT will be back.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah?
Sit on a hedge for 2 weeks.
Been weird, hasn't it, though? I mean, it's unreal, really.
Yeah, you don't realise how big it is until it's gone. Like, I can remember a couple of years ago sitting out, watching all the races. It was a great time, and then COVID came. And then you're like, oh, it's gone. And you realise how important it is to the Isle of Man and how big of an experience it is to be around it.
Do you like the sport itself, or are you technical? Do you ride a bike?
I don't do any motorsport. I'm just more.
You just like the spectacle of it?
Yeah, casual watcher, casual fan, as you'd say. I watch a lot of F1. It's probably my main interest, Formula One. Not so much into my bikes, but still, it's great to watch them.
And what do you feel about Formula One this year?
I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. Watching Max Verstappen beat Lewis Hamilton. It's brilliant. It's brilliant driver, brilliant cars, but you need to change at some point, don't you?
All right. Emily, now you're year 12. Are you aiming for university, Emily?
Yes, hopefully. I want to go off and do physiotherapy.
Whereabouts?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still looking.
Why physiotherapy?
Well, I wanted to help people get better, but I don't like all the blood and the gore of doing things like the surgery and that, so physiotherapy would be a good way to go.
Okay. And tell me, QE2 has got a great reputation. What do you like about QE2?
I like the sense of community and friends that it has, so like everybody sort of knows most of everybody.
Jolly good. Yeah. Ilium, I understand you're a big football fan, not?
I'm more of a rugby man myself, so.
Did you watch the Lions at all?
I have watched the Lions, yeah. I was working for the first match, but I watched the second one.
Where do you work, by the way?
I work at JD Sports.
Do you? How many days a week do you do that?
I do Saturday, Sunday on a 4-hour contract, well, on an 8-hour contract, so 4 to 4 hours a day.
Can I ask you, do you spend your money or do you save it?
I've started saving now.
Yeah.
I realised I was blowing through it, so I had to start saving.
You were blowing it before, were you?
It just went, you know how you'll go and spend a £5 there, £10 there, and you end up having nothing, so I had to start saving for, well, I'm going on a holiday next year, and just things like that in general, so.
So how do you find that? I mean, what has it done to you, having to work in a retail environment?
You learn how to deal with people a lot better, because obviously, with working at JD, transactions aren't cheap, and when things happen, people can get, it don't happen often at all, but when they do, people are a little bit, not volatile, but they can be a little bit angry and upset. So you have to learn how to do that professionally and make sure the customer is always happy.
Just explain that to me. What do you mean?
So, you know, when say like someone's being maybe sent the wrong thing, they might come in and they might be a little bit not upset or anything like that, but you know,
so they've ordered it online.
You know, maybe something's happened, maybe the wrong size. It happens very rarely, but you know, you have to just learn to deal with that, and you have to make sure the customer always ends up happy. And yeah, I suppose make sure the customer's always happy and they always feel comfortable in the shop.
Do you get a discount?
I do get a discount, yeah.
That's good. Next year's Erin Kelly. Erin, you were talking about junior achievement earlier on. Were you part of that team?
Yeah, we had, I think it's a school we had four teams go. But yeah, I was part of the team Triskelion.
I'm going to ask you then, how did it go?
It went better than we thought. You know, we didn't win anything except a Costa voucher out of a random draw. But we had fun, and it was a really nice experience. We learned a lot of skills on how to do things like this, talking to people, interviewing, how to talk to the public and try and sell a product. So it went well, but yes, we didn't actually win anything.
So looking back, you've learned. It was a learning experience,
yeah.
I take it, as well. What are you studying?
I'm currently studying maths, history and psychology.
Okay, and are you aiming for uni?
Yes, definitely.
Have you looked at anywhere yet?
Nowhere in particular, but I really fancy doing law.
With a view to doing what?
I'm coming back to the Isle of Man and then practising law over here is my plan.
You want to come back to the Isle of Man? Because lots of people go to university, love the idea of not being on the Isle of Man or being a big urban environment and don't come back.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm from a really small village, but I just really love it over here. I think it's a beautiful place and it's a safe place to grow up and I love it here. So I want to go and like see the world, go to uni, live in a big city for a bit. But yeah, I always want to come back.
Matt Smith is next to you as well. Matt, are you heading for university?
Yeah, I'm currently looking at like different universities. Like me and Aaron are in like the Oxford, the like Google Classroom currently. But like I'm mainly looking into going to like linguistics or something like that.
What to do what?
Maybe like teach English in a foreign country or just like a translator at the moment because like languages are kind of like a passion of mine at the moment, but yeah.
They were talking yesterday, there was a petition lodged at Tynwald about the fact that lots of private tutors are being used in education across the Isle of Man, and they said that taking languages away from primary schools was a bad idea.
Yeah, the Manx government kind of has like an issue with like, especially like the Manx language, it's not like taught very widely. I mean, they're trying to bring it back, but I feel like they just haven't done it very well. They love to use like Celtic and Manx is like an identity for like the government, but they don't really like put any like expenses into the culture. So I think definitely taking away like Manx and other languages from schools is definitely like a big blow to
what
like culture.
What do you speak?
Oh, I speak Afrikaans and just a little bit of Dutch.
Yeah.
But like at the moment I'm wanting to like go to uni, like get a degree and then move to like the Netherlands or something.
And speak some more Dutch.
Yeah.
Jolly good. And look, there's Finlo Gelling. Are you going to be watching the match tonight, Finlo?
Might be.
Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah,
I know you're. Who's going to win?
England, hopefully.
Now, come on, have you got any doubts at all that Denmark might? I mean, the whole Christian Eriksen thing is in the background. That's a big emotional thing for them, isn't it?
Yeah, they're motivated. They'll have the charge to go and get the win. But I imagine England might be able to hold them off because they've looked strong recently. Beating Ukraine 4-0 will give them right to boost.
They didn't do terribly well against Scotland, though.
No, that was poor.
So you think? What do you think of Southgate?
He's not done as well this time as the World Cup. Not everyone's singing his praises, but he's done well to get us to the semi so far.
Finlow, yesterday, the chief constable was talking about Scouse drug criminals coming to the Isle of Man and drugs on the Isle of Man. I just wonder what you feel. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you think that young people on the Isle of Man are at risk?
They might be. Well, it's just, my mum works in the post office, so they've managed to take most of the illicit stuff coming through. And then when the people come over to get their money, they don't actually have the stuff they've been sent over. So they might just be getting into harm for nothing, which they don't actually deserve.
There's something we can do about that. Obviously, we're an island. We can control stuff like that. And drugs going into the community doesn't really do anybody any good. Who do you think should do something about this? Is it government? Is it police? The public?
It might be a policing matter, but also public to protect the communities. Like if anyone seems a bit too dodgy or out of place, there might be a bit of trouble.
Okay, let's go back to Matthew. Are you aiming to be a professional cyclist?
Well, I think it's a very competitive environment, and I mean, 10 years ago, cycling was considered a minority sport, and it's just not that anymore. There's such a massive, at the base of the pyramid, at grassroots level, there's such an incredible atmosphere now, given the success of British cycling in the past 5 years.
You must have thought about it. What does it take to become a professional cyclist?
I mean, it's absolute commitment. It's a whole kind of cocktail of things that you've got to have. You've got to have commitment. There's got to be natural talent, time, resources, support. It's really a team effort, and hopefully with a bit of luck and the right training, the right commitment, I'll be able to do that.
How much practice do you have to do?
I currently put in on the bike about 13 hours a week, and then 2 hours on top of that in the gym as well. So about 15 hours a week, which obviously. There's a lot of time. It's a massive time commitment, but when you see what the rewards could be, when you see guys like Cav competing at the Tour and winning after all the adversity he's faced, it's inspiring.
What about diet?
Yeah, it's important.
Do you eat chocolate?
I do, but I try and keep it in moderation. Everything in moderation is acceptable, but I think it's just about, it's mainly about fueling and yeah. what carbs you can get in. Carbs.
I've seen these amazing sachets they give them with about 5,000 calories in.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they have gels with and bottles with 80 grams of carbs in per 500 mil, which is a lot. And if your stomach can handle that, then it's going to benefit you.
Can a professional cyclist afford to drink alcohol?
Yes. I think most professional cyclists drink alcohol, but only in the off season, usually, and only in very, very small amounts. Maybe a glass of champagne after a stage win.
Talk to me about active travel on the Isle of Man. Lots of politicians are pushing the fact that we should all be riding bikes.
Yeah, well, I think it's vital. I've spoken to a couple of massive ambassadors for active travel on the Isle of Man, namely Rob Holden. He's a massive advocate for it, and I tend to agree with him. I think. Everybody gets bothered in the morning when they're stuck in a traffic jam on their way to work. They turn up late and they're pumping CO2 into the atmosphere no end. But I think simple solutions that can be implemented through infrastructure and the change of attitude and education on the Isle of Man could really change that.
Finlo, do you ride a bike?
No.
Would you be persuaded to ride a bike?
No.
Have you got a car?
No.
Will you be getting a car?
Maybe soon.
Are you passed your driving test at all? Are you taking your test at all?
Not started yet.
Anyone here taking driving lessons at the moment? Nobody?
Passed.
You passed your test, Jake?
Yeah, I have. I'm almost off my R's now. It's tomorrow, actually. So I passed a year ago tomorrow. Well, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. A year ago tomorrow.
And do you drive a car?
Yeah, I drive a car.
You drive every morning to QE2?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Do you feel any commitment to the climate?
I mean, if I was going by myself, I think it'd be bad, but I try to fill my car as much as possible. I take my brother and normally my cousin, but he's just finished year 11 now. But I try to fill my car just to make sure there isn't a load. Like, it's just me by myself and my car going.
And Aaron, you're on the end talking about farming and what have you. Just how do you feel the climate emergency, the climate change and everything affects farming? Because, I mean, beef gets a bad press, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It's something that I pay quite close attention to, really, the social view of how beef and meat is viewed wider. Over here, really, it's still quite strong. The beef market over here, it's still a really, really strong market. Further afield, though, it is starting to decrease, which is a worrying sign. I think it is overplayed, though. The beef impact on climate change is overplayed quite greatly in some respects. However, farming is going to have to move with the times, as driving big diesel tractors around isn't doing any good.
Well, they're going to be hydrogen, aren't they? They say, because you can't get an electric vehicle that's got enough whack in it to move a combine, so there'll be a hydrogen combine.
Yeah, hydrogen, and New Holland, I believe, are bringing out a methane tractor at the end of this year. They're putting it into production, methane-powered. They could still engine, but because it's methane, it's not producing as much CO2 or nitrous gases as petrol or a diesel, which is a promising sign. It's starting to move, but I think it'll take a few decades for the farming industry to catch up, as the cost of these machines to replace is absurd. It's in the hundreds of thousands per machine. So it will take a long time, as well as the infrastructure as well.
Do you want to be a farmer?
Long term, yes. Short term, no. Which, it might sound a little bit complicated, but I don't really want to do farming short term, as I can't see a feasible way to get into it realistically, as my family's farm isn't very big. I can't run it full time, and because my dad and my grandparents are still doing it as well, so there's not enough money coming through it to support me. So I'd have to go and have a career elsewhere, which I'm looking into the automotive industry really, and then come back over and hopefully have the means to acquire more land and make it feasible.
Good. All right, we're live at QE2 today with an Aaron and Jake and Matthew and Finlow and Matt and Aaron, Ilium and Emily. I'm Andy Winter. We're back in a moment.
It's time to enjoy your garden with Ramsey Garden Centre, where you'll find gorgeous summer bedding and basket plants, pots, compost and gravel, plus solar lights and electric and solar water features, and plenty of lovely gifts for the garden. Yes, Ramsey Garden Centre have all you need for outdoor summer living. For news and updates, visit on Facebook. For help and information, call 816 506. Or better still, pop in to see what's new in store at Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road.
You see us at festivals. You see us at the races. You see us everywhere. Because we are St John Ambulance and we are proud to be a Manx charity. St John Ambulance volunteers help the people of the island when they need them the most. That's why all profits made from our commercial training go straight back into supporting our volunteers and providing opportunities for children from 5 years old to develop life-saving skills. For more information on how you can help, call 674 387.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677 888 or email reception at advocates.co.im.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the Man in Line on location.
At QE2 School in Peel. And Ilium, I wanted to talk to you about drugs and drug crime on the island.
I think it's a massive problem. It's an epidemic on the Isle of Man.
Well, Gary Roberts, Chief Constable, said 10 years ago in 2011, they pulled one 16-year-old for carrying drugs. 20 last year. So it's going up and up and up. How do young people cope with this?
I think everyone in here knows people that are involved with drugs. And I think, to be honest, you're lying to yourself if you don't, because it's a massive problem in young people.
Now, why is that?
I think people are seen isolated, maybe, and they may not have ways and means to make money. Or perhaps it's because the older people are more influential over them and they're getting them involved.
Is it peer pressure? Are they just vulnerable kids? Why is this?
Both, to be honest with you. I think it's peer pressure, the wanting to make money, but then not knowing how. Because for people my age, there isn't the availability of information of how to make money properly.
Well, you did it. You work at JD Sports.
Yeah, but I had help from my parents, my family. Where maybe if you don't have that infrastructure at home, then it's not that easy for people. Or maybe it's because people just want something to do, because there's nothing to do for kids. Well, because when you pass your test and you go out driving, where do you go and what do you do? There's nowhere to go, nothing to do.
What is the... Well, you live in Peel?
I live in Glenvarn.
What's there to do in Glenvarn? They can't even open the co-op.
There's nothing to do. There's shops, there's things like that, but everything to do costs money. And that's the reality of it. And if you don't have money to go out and do those things, then where are you going to get money from?
And so what do you do then?
You sit around in your car or you go and play footy, really.
Do you go to the cinema at all? Do you?
No, well, it costs money.
Yeah.
And where are you getting money from?
Well, you go bowling to Ramsey or something
like
that?
That costs money as well. So what do you do if you don't have the money to do that?
So is there anything in Glenvine for young people to do?
Well, there's nothing in Peel, really, is there? Because if you go out and Peel with your mates, what are you going to do?
Do you play football yourself?
I play rugby. I've played for the island and club level.
Who do you play for?
I play for Vagabonds.
Right, so where do you train? Do you train at Vagas?
I train at Bala Fletcher twice a week.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that will obviously take a lot of energy and time, but you've got to be able to get there as well. So do you drive?
Yeah. I don't. I'm taking my test soon. So.
Right, so you get ferried by parents?
Yeah, my parents, yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't got parental support to do something like that...
Yeah, then you've got to pay to get the bus.
Yeah, there'll be young people who are going to be stuck with nothing to do, no money, and no way of doing something. Yeah,
completely. because what if you're not into sport? Then what do you do?
Ilium, how do you break that circle? Is this? I mean, we live on a really prosperous Isle of Man. We live, you know, the Isle of Man. And when you get to the age of 18, if you've got two arms and two legs and you want to work, you can earn £30,000 in the finance sector. So why are young people...
Yeah, but that's only if you have the qualifications, though. If you weren't good at school, then you have to get a trade. But then there's not too many apprenticeships about at the minute. So to break the circle, you have to offer people, young people, things to do. You have to offer the advice. You have to make the advice so readily available that from the age of 4, you know that you don't go near drugs. That's how you do it, because I have friends that have been in a lot of trouble with the police because of it. And I think most people here know a lot of people that have.
But they don't anticipate that, do they? They don't think, this is a way to get in trouble with the police, I'll do it.
Because not people putting people's names in the paper, they're not putting people's names everywhere. Where if you have people's names that you know, or your parents you're even going to, or people in schools are going, this person has had this happen to them, then that's how you know, realistically. Because if not, then you only see the money, which I think is why a lot of people do get into it as well.
Well, optimistic or pessimistic about the future, Ilium?
Well, I think there's only the reality. And the reality is it's only going to get worse. And unless there is something done about it, then it is only going to get worse.
Let's talk about climate change then. Let's go to Matt. You're involved in the climate change?
The Student Climate Network. I've been involved for like 2 years now-ish. And I'm just working on like running errands with like the beef and stuff. Coming from like a vegetarian and like definitely like a Marxist point of view, people love to like go this.
You're a vegetarian Marxist.
Yes, going from this like point of view that and this like narrative that people just think it's just like a single farmer and just cooking beef, and people place a lot of emphasis on like the user and like driving, and you need to reduce all this. When it's really like it's the oil companies at the end of the day. We like all saw like the fire in the Gulf of Mexico, like and that whole water crisis, and people just thought about it for a day or two, and then we just kind of moved on. And I feel like people just keep pushing and pushing that we need to do better instead of the people who are actually harming, who are like farming oil out of like Middle Eastern countries and like really damaging the like the ocean beds. And I feel like we all saw like Seaspiracy, that one movie. I feel like everyone like for like a week was like, oh wow, this is so bad, we just need to stop eating fish, and then no one cared again. And I feel like we don't do enough to like put like the companies responsible, and just we keep blaming ourselves.
And why does nobody ever mention China?
I don't know why nobody mentions China. I know there's like a current like a conspiracy almost of like the Uyghur Muslims being like genocided there, and there's definitely a lot of xenophobia on how they have like traditions of like eating like I know there's a certain festival like cats and dogs and stuff like that, and I feel like that's just a different culture. But also people use that to just fuel their own biases of what they think about, like especially Chinese people like on the island have like seen a massive spike in like hate crimes. And even just my friend recently on the bus was just hate crimes. And I feel like people don't pay enough attention to that rather than just generalizing.
But
everyone.
If countries like China are opening coal-fired power stations every couple of months, which they are doing, if countries like Germany are farming open-cast coal and opening coal-fired power stations, how can we do something on the Isle of Man to mitigate climate change when countries far bigger than the Isle of Man don't seem to be paying any notice?
Well, definitely on the Isle of Man, I feel like we are very progressive in the sense of like climate justice, and we've got like the one power station at the top, like Point of Air, where we like burn plastic, but it's very like eco-conscious. Sadly, there's not a whole lot we can do, especially with like a really smaller nation, but just like spreading awareness and like fixing like our own internal biases of what we perceive of other countries is definitely like a big thing we need to go through.
Matthew?
Yeah, I think I agree with both Aaron and Matt over there. I think that doing things on a small scale can sometimes seem fruitless when you've got massive aeronautic companies pumping so much CO2 into the atmosphere with every flight. I think then it's about, we can't change the world ourselves maybe, but we can start. We can one step at a time. If you change your life personally to be as eco-conscious as you can, that adds up eventually. You've got 80,000 people on the Isle of Man. If we're all eco-conscious, It's not changing a nation, but it's 80,000 people more eco-conscious.
So does this come from the ground up? In sociology, they say systems push down, people push up. Who's going to do this then? Is it the government introducing a system where we can be eco-conscious, or is it people just saying, I'm going to be eco-conscious?
I think it's both. I think there's a balance there. I think if the government doesn't engage the people...
You live in Peel, yeah?
I do, yeah.
How do you recycle in Peel?
I mean, we've got the bottle banks at ShopRite, so we use them. But I think, again, there's not a lot of education around that, you know. Like, the government has to engage young people and make being eco-friendly and being health conscious a part of life. Because at the moment, it's an inconvenience to recycle, whereas what it should be is just another thing that you do from when you're, like Ilium said, 4 years old. You've got to really start at the bottom with this.
Okay. Jake, do you think COVID-19 has affected how people approach things in general?
Yeah, I think everyone's a bit more conscious about booking flights, and I think their consumption, their spending is, patterns have definitely changed. People are spending more on online and less in like the local area, because, I mean, on the Isle of Man, it's starting to pick up again more, but I think definitely during COVID, no one was spending any money. It was just online buying things, and it wasn't kind of pumping the money into the Isle of Man that we could use to change anything.
Do you buy online?
I do buy online, but I try to, if I know I can go to the local shop, I will. Yeah, especially for...
What do you buy online?
What do I buy online? Anything I can't get in the Isle of Man. So, like, football boots, stuff like that. But I try to, like, go to the butchers. There's Tate Traditional Butchers over there, down in Peel. I try to buy my meat from.
Do you know anybody who's had COVID at all?
Yeah, one of my friends during the first lockdown had COVID, and he was very, very ill. And
how old was he?
He was 16 at the time, I think.
How is he now?
He's fine now. He still doesn't have a smell, though.
After a year?
Yeah, he still can't smell at all.
So what do you say to, the, you know, there's still the conspiracy people who say this is all a big hoax?
I mean, it could be, but I just, yeah. I mean, when you actually look at the patterns, every 100 years, something happens like this. Like, obviously, there was the plague and stuff, and that was in, I think, 8. I mean, I don't want to say the date because I'll probably get it wrong, but it was like, it happens every 100 years, something majorly goes wrong. I think it could be China starting something, but I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist.
And Aaron, do you know anybody who's had COVID?
I do. A couple of my friends had COVID. One of them was, I think he said he was really close to having to go to hospital with it. He was really not well with it. And another one, he was quite unwell with it as well. So it is something that has been affecting everyone.
Well, things are changing now. The borders are opening on the Isle of Man. There are more and more people coming in. Yeah. Cases are going up, but the government says don't take any notice of the cases.
Yeah, I think that is a fair point. As you said, with the COVID figures at the start of the show, it is most people have been vaccinated at least once. So
anybody here been vaccinated?
Yeah, I got my first one.
Why did you get vaccinated?
Well, originally it was kind of one of two things. I had atmosphere. I had asthma when I was younger, as a child, so I qualified through that. But also, there was a bit of confusion when 3FM put out that anybody under 30 could be vaccinated. So I obviously applied at that point, as I knew I was going to be going away for the race season, and I didn't know the regulations about what I would need to come back and go away and that kind of thing. But then they changed it to over 18, but I'd already been booked in for my first vaccination at that point. So
which one did you have?
I had the Pfizer.
Did you? And Aaron, did you socially distance on the farm?
We did. We had to put together contingency plans.
How does that work?
So my grandparents live on the farm. Me and my parents were living out elsewhere. So we were the backup in case they became ill. So when it was during calving season last year when COVID first hit, so we had to go up and carve cows. But what we did was, if me and my dad were on the yard, we always wore gloves, had sanitizer, sanitized everything down, wiped everything down, and they stayed on either in the house or in a completely different part of the yard, and we only went up to do what we needed to do and then went again.
And was that practical?
From a actually getting stuff done point, it was fine. Like, we got everything done we needed to do and everything worked fine. But from a social aspect, I think it really didn't do very much good for my grandparents, as they are getting on. Mm. So they weren't able to go and see their friends. My grandma wasn't able to go to the WI. And, you know, it didn't do them any good mentally.
Shouldn't be the royal show anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it will be that. I'm looking forward to that.
Emily, we were talking last night on Max Radio about first-time buyers and young people getting into the housing market. Is that something you're conscious of, something that you're looking at?
Well, I haven't really looked, but I am aware that it's very, like, the cost of living over here is very high.
Do you know how much a house is?
No.
How much is a house, Ilium?
What the average? Well, for a three-bed semi-detached house, you're running about £290,000, I believe I'm right in saying.
About. Erin, are you looking at the property market at all? I mean, you're only year 12, I know that, but is the property market something you think is attainable to young people?
Not at all. I think that the Isle of Man, obviously because the college doesn't offer, it offers a very wide range of courses and a lot of people do stay on the Isle of Man for further education, but also a lot of people go to uni. And yet the Isle of Man wants the young people to come back, but there is no way for us to come back if we can't afford to live over here after we've had to pay masses to go to university, even with help. It's expensive. And then I'm just scared that if I want to come back, I'm going to have to live with my parents until I'm like 30, 40.
Do you see buying your own home as a, is that a goal to you, that you will be, your life will be better if you owned your own property?
Yeah, I think it's the sense of accomplishment that you've managed to do that yourself. And the sense of independence, because even if you can't buy a property per se, rent is expensive. Rent apartments aren't cheap either. So being able to not necessarily live alone, whether you live with a partner, with friends, and however you do it, but it's expensive. But I feel like it's just not attainable unless you are earning a lot of money for a young person.
Yeah, Finlow, I mean, would you look to buy your own property in the future?
Hopefully, but I'm a bit worried with how it's looking at the moment, because it is getting quite bad.
Do you think it's better to own your own property or to rent?
Well, I imagine it'd be better to own, because then you could make it your own and stay there rather than have to give it up after a few years.
Politicians are going to be looking for your votes in September. Have you registered to vote?
Not yet, but I imagine I'll be influenced into doing it.
By?
My father.
Do you ever talk about politics at home?
It sprouts up occasionally. My dad works at DEFA, so he mingles with some politicians. He's worked with Geoffrey Boot a bit, with conservation around the island.
What did you think of those elms, by the way?
I wouldn't know.
The elms have been saved.
Oh, good to hear.
Happy about that?
Yes.
Jolly good. And Aaron, what do you think about those elms?
Against popular opinion, I think they should have gone down. It is a dangerous road. It is not a fun road to drive on. I've had to pull out onto that road a few times from a similar spot, and it is really quite dangerous. If they've found other measures to keep the elms there, that's good, because it's keeping the trees up. You never want to see old trees cut down, but sometimes safety has to take a priority. So I think it probably would have been a good
idea.
It's
a very tempting road, though, isn't it? It's a long, straight road.
Yeah.
You get somebody pootling along in a little Suzuki you want to overtake.
Yeah.
Even in a tractor.
Yeah. Well, I drive a little Suzuki, so I'm not often pootling up and down it, to be honest, but yeah, it is a tempting road. It is quite a dangerous road, and I think the 50 mile an hour speed limit's probably quite accurate on there to keep to keep people from doing.
Jake, what did you think about the elms?
I don't really know much about them, to be honest, but I mean, going back to what about the housing market, I think it's actually kind of affecting teachers almost, because the government is trying to get young teachers over here to fill in the gaps, but when they look over here and they see the price of the housing, the price of the living, it's absolutely outrageous, to be honest. I just think it's so hard to get young teachers over here, because why would they want to live over here where it's super expensive to live when they can live in England, which for much, much cheaper? I think there should be a program run by the government to try to get young teachers over here and give them like discounts, but help them buy houses, because trying to fill in the gaps for teachers is just hard. And because if you pluck one from one school, then it goes a gap in another school, and it's just a cycle, to be honest. So I think there should be a program by the government to try to fill that gap and get
teachers over here and young teachers, because, I mean, the more education, the better teachers we have, I think it'll just change, because it will help with the drug problem if better teachers and, like, steer young people to different routes and things. But because of the lack of teachers, I just think it's hard for schools to keep up.
You're not short of teachers at QE2, are you? Is there a shortage here?
I wouldn't really. we've had some problems, yeah.
Yes.
But
very diplomatic.
I just think more young teachers need to just come over and.
You see, if you do that for teachers, the medical profession say do it for nurses as well, and the police would say do it for police.
I think
we're talking about essential workers, aren't we?
Yeah, I just think they should help get essential workers over here and get them living over here and permanently here, not just here for a year or so.
Do you think there's a drug problem amongst young people on the island?
Oh, yeah, 100%. As Ilium said, everyone knows someone that is involved with drugs. I just think it is the vulnerable, it is the people from people who haven't never been steered towards something, a career path, and being educated about how bad it is and what they can do, and not knowing their potential in life, kind of thing. They don't know what they can do and achieve. So I just think more teachers and more essential workers and almost better education will, in the long term, help all the, drug problems and education and everything.
And in the long term, it would probably save the Isle of Man money, because we wouldn't be shelling out money for legal aid or for putting people in bail hostels or things like that. And, you know, you have somebody who could enter a life of crime purely because of one mistake made in their teenage years, and surely we could do something about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, these years are, like, the most important years of our lives, because it kind of chooses what path we're going to go down in life. And I think the more that we help kids and steer them on the right track, the better, in my opinion.
Where are you going to uni, Jake?
Well, I don't know yet, but if I was going to go to uni, I was thinking about moving a proper abroad, maybe Norway or the America. I just don't think it's very advertised over here, but it is definitely a possibility, because in Norway there are many courses that are done in English and not Norwegian, and it's really I think it's a really cool idea to go away and live somewhere completely different and kind of embrace the culture and see what it's like in different parts of the world, instead of just going to England, even though it's a big step being on the Isle of Man.
What would you study?
I know there's a course in Norway about I think it's like social sciences, mm-hmm. and it's economics mostly, and I'm studying economics in A level. So,
Jake, thanks for being with us. Thanks to Aaron and Matthew and Finlow and Matt and Erin and Ilium and Emily. I'm Andy Wint, and we're back in just a few moments' time. We're going to leave QE2. Stu Peters is on next.
Call the UPVC window specialists, Phoenix Windows, for quality windows, doors and conservatories, along with fascias, soffits, barge boards, guttering and all building work undertaken. With free estimates, free surveys, guaranteed work and all island coverage. Phoenix Windows don't use standard off-the-shelf frames. Their windows are made to measure, which means you get a perfect fit, less bulky frames and more glazing. Call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
Think about it. Why do we take water for granted? Is it because our beautiful island's surrounded by it? We turn on a tap and expect it to just be there. But Manx Water is the only water we have. So we need to think about every precious drop and use it wisely. In our homes, in our gardens, and in general. Luckily for us, there's lots of ways to be water wise. Visit maxutilities.im to discover more.
When it comes to building and DIY supplies, shop where the professionals shop. Haldane Fisher for concrete blocks to roof trusses, timber to tiles, doors to panel pins, boilers to bathrooms, drainage to guttering, and everything in between. Get the job done with the right products from Haldane Fisher. Visit our stores in Douglas and Ramsey, or find us online on Facebook. Proud to be on island.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
Whether you like live music, theatre, film, or running around in circles pretending to be a superhero,
you'll love Villa Gaiety. with Dragon's Castle Play Area, Broadway Cinema, Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina. Check out the upcoming events at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Villa Gaiety, the island's premier entertainment venue.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
On Man in Line, my promise to you is to present every candidate from every constituency in the forthcoming general election in September. Today, former radio presenter and producer Stu Peters has declared as a candidate for the constituency of Middle in the forthcoming general election. Other candidates currently for Middle are David Fowler, Kieran Hannafin, Alison Lynch and Jane Paul Wilson. Simon Richardson asked Stu Peters to outline some of the issues he considers important.
If I was to make a list, I'm too old to worry about about my world because I'm probably not going to be here for that long. But I do worry about my children and I do worry about my grandchildren. And the thing is that if you draw a list of the top 20 things that you worry about for the future, climate change comes pretty much the bottom of the list. There are far more pressing concerns, I think, than that, and things that we need to address, not least free speech. I mean, if we can't debate things rationally and fairly with people, then society's over and we've turned into some sort of a totalitarian state.
Now, we're emerging from the COVID pandemic. Do you support the easing and the imminent removal of border restrictions?
I'm not an expert on things like COVID, and I listen to what the experts say because that seems to be the best option. I also know an awful lot of people don't buy into the whole COVID thing, who think that it's some sort of a global plot or whatever, and I can see a point in that. But, you know, you've got to look at the odds, really, and to me, the odds were that if I caught COVID, I'd probably die. And therefore, I've had two jabs. In terms of easing, I think we've got to the stage now where pretty much everybody's been vaccinated, or certainly everybody who's at risk has been vaccinated. And I think that the borders need to be lifted. I mean, the trouble is that I think David Ashford said that we're getting to a phase now where we need to learn to live with COVID and not try and keep it away from the island. I think it's a fact of life now, just like the seasonal flu, the winter flu was.
Now, three of your main priorities listed are tourism, affordable housing and roads. What order would you list them in terms of urgency?
I'm not sure, to be honest. There are a number of things that bother me, and as they come up, then I'll address them. I don't know that I could prioritise the list. I mean, most of us, you talk to most people on the Isle of Man and you say what annoys you most, and they'll say the roads because they're absolutely disgraceful. But there are a whole list of things that need to be sorted out. Now, I'm not going to be able to sort them out on my own, but I'm certainly going to be able to, if elected, draw attention to them and keep the spotlight of scrutiny on the people who are paid to do the jobs for us and, to be honest, haven't been doing a very good job over the last 5 years.
Where do you stand on the structure of Tynwald? For example, should the Legislative Council be popularly elected and are there too many MHKs?
I don't know whether or not there are too many MHKs. It would be very easy to say, yes, there are too many MHKs. But I think that the experts have decided over various reports that the number's about right, that you need a certain number of people to fill positions within government. I think the Liz Vane report said that you didn't need as many people to be serving on departments, and I think that that's probably right. But it's not the, I mean, 24 people, yes, it's ridiculous if you compare it to most areas across. But we are a nation as well, so you're not just dealing in parish pump issues, we're actually dealing with national issues as well. LegCo, I think, should be popularly elected. I think that nobody should be allowed to become a Legislative Council member until they're at least 50 years old. I think that they should have been before the electorate in the past, and it shouldn't just be a jobs for the boys kind of a thing within the gift of the Chief Minister, which seems to be the way that it was last time.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos, and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini site at manxradio.com.
If you want to find out more about the general election, who's standing, what they're standing for, what's it all about, how you register to vote, simply go to manxradio.com, click on the election subsite, everything is there. That's it for Man in Line today. Thanks to producers at QE2 High School, Sarah Hendy and Ben Hartley, at Broadcasting House, Barry Redfern, and engineering supervisor Matty Cunningham. I'm Andy Wint, back with an open line tomorrow. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with Man in Line, email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682 631. Thanks again to the students of QE2 High School.